Welcome back to the show where the ball talk is happening, guys. It's the Baseball Arm Show. Today, guys, super special guest, Cincinnati native, 2018 All-Star, four home run game. Is that good? The one and only Scooter Jeanette. Scooter, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. And I'm special. I appreciate that. A lot of my family would agree with that.
All right, guys, we're going to start out, Scooter, with the Baseballer Blitz. Really easy, man. Home run or strikeout? Home run if you love it, strikeout if you don't. This is brought to you by Triton. So first question here, man. Wearing your All-Star game jersey in public, home run or strikeout?
Come on, really? Strikeout.
Spending your off days doing pottery instead of golf, home run or strikeout?
Jeez, you guys did some research. I think that's a strikeout depending on the season.
Bench clearing brawls in baseball, home run or strikeout?
Home run. Need more punches.
The new ABS system, home run or strikeout?
I don't even know what that is. ABS is like a thing for diesels, that light that pops up that you never want to see.
the tap your head challenge system, potential.
Oh, I think it's good because at least everyone knows and it'll stop all the chirping, you know?
Totally. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. All right. A four home run game is cooler than a perfect game.
I think a perfect game, to be honest, not to be like, oh, cool. You know, I think a perfect game because the potential of it being a good game is way higher. So it's less of like a selfish thing. You know, I think most of the four home run games, it was probably out of hand. Only a couple, I think, were like extra inning games. Cool. But yeah, that I think they're very comparable, though, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Gino Suarez hit four this year and they lost. So,
yep, I'm so happy for him. I texted him and, you know, during the middle of the season, baseball is so up and down that you got to, you know, try to just like, hey, you know, that 0-for-3 with, you know, 0-for-4 with 2 or 3 Ks is coming.
Totally.
Like ride the wave, but also let's get back to it. So I didn't want to bother him too much. Damn, see that wasp?
That was huge. The fact that the camera caught that was a big point.
Yeah, we're out here kind of in the sticks. I wanted to get away from my 3.5-year-old and our newborn daughter. You know, got to get away for a little bit to do stuff like this.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's one hell of a backdrop. One hell of a backdrop right there. That's nice.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. It's better than the other side here. It's a mess.
You pick the good side. I love it.
Good deal. All right. We got, will there ever be a billion-dollar baseball player?
Yeah, I think so. I don't see why not, just how quickly it seems like contracts have almost tripled. You know, it used to be the $200 million contract was like a thing for 10 to 20 years, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, $400 million, $500 million. It's like, whoa, sweet, spread that to your boys down in like AAA, you know? No, not even AAA, to the low A. I was making like $300 my first year in low A. Every 2 weeks I didn't have a bank account set up and I was getting
mattress
hard checks and taking them to Walmart and cashing them. $356 every 2 weeks after taxes.
Dang, dude.
Once you got to the big leagues, did you have a bank account?
Yes, of course.
Just mattress.
I had to like not trap waste, money, but spend all my signing bonus pretty much to learn that like I need to, you know, put like get a hold of this. I mean, we're athletes. How many of us are like, one, born into money, and two, like, know what to do with it?
Totally. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
people are surprised. How do you spend all that money? It's like, really? Have you been around any athletes for like longer than a few hours? Like, what are you talking about? It's completely normal.
Absolutely. All right. Massive Derek Dietrich size bat flips after home runs.
I don't like it. It's not my thing. I'm more of a, I never could master the Griffey drop, you know? But that was, being a lefty, that was kind of like, to me, that's just way more swag. Like, boom, dropping it, kind of give it a little walk or a couple steps and get on your way. And, you know, I think when you do bat flips, I think it opens up, a avenue for that pitcher's emotions and or players that maybe are having rough games, or, you know, the wife slapping them around a little bit at the house and they get to the field and they got some anger, you know, it just opens it up. And for me, baseball is about winning. The goal is to win. So most of the time when you do well, right, you hit a home run, like, let's just keep hitting home runs. Let's not change this flow here. Let's not open up this chirping that, and then nothing ever happens. It's like, I coach travel ball with, it's what I'm wearing right now. My boy, Logan Wells, shout out to him. He's a great coach. Yeah. He's in the Bay Area. Sarasota, Bradenton area is where I was, you know, pretty much raised. And, he's a great coach, right? Does it the right way, but still, like, this chirpiness, like, I you know, come back after a few years of playing, I'm like, let's get into travel ball. Right. I've been coaching Sarasota Babe Ruth for a few years, which is like a, you know, everyone makes the league and it's a great league. Right. But travel ball is a little, you know, another little level up, and it's just insane. Like, this whole chirpiness, and nothing ever happens. It's almost like they're tweeting during the game, but they're like talking, and it bugs the crap out of me. I'm like, can we just get like the big gloves? Like, let's get the 18-ounce gloves, you know, like big gloves.
Do something.
Run. Not, you don't even need headgear with that stuff. I mean, yeah. Keep your helmet on, whatever. Put a helmet on. And just get it out, because like, it just takes away from the game. And I'm a person, I have like ADD or whatever. That's what the doctors say. I need to focus, right? Totally. Like, I need to focus. It'd be like golf. Like, if there was like chirpiness going on, they would shut it down instantly. Totally. The golfers would be like, I can't perform, right? Same thing in baseball. When, so to me, why do it? The whole bat flip. I don't know how I got on this rant, but
I love it.
You guys are good with these simple questions. It's just not worth it for me to keep it short and sweet. I think when you know the game's over and it's a walk-off, do whatever you want, totally. You know, or, you know, the game's sealed, which in baseball, it's never a for sure thing, but I think it's appropriate then.
Yeah, absolutely. Situational bat flips.
Yeah. I'm playing chess, not checkers.
Yeah. You know, I get you, man. Like, if you're giving if you can do something like that, like if you have someone, like you said, if you're hitting home runs, you have the wave of momentum. And as soon as you start chirping, it's like those guys go back in the dugout, and those at bats might mean a little bit more when they're going back in there. What's that going to create?
Right. Have you ever hit after somebody did a bat flip and there was some chirpiness going on? Have you ever hit directly after?
Not like immediately after.
It's the worst. Like, no one, who likes that? Am I going to get drilled?
Yes.
Like, the pitcher likes it and he just throws one right down the middle. And like, how many guys swing? You know, it's like,
yeah,
you got to either be the dumbest player in the field or just like an absolute savage. And I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I'm a little bit of both and it kind of works out.
It's a good combo, man. It worked well for you.
Yeah. Right?
All right. Last one. We got having a safety bag at first base, home run or strikeout?
A what?
Having a safety bag at first base.
What is that?
So imagine like safety bag, like where it's the connecting bag for a lane.
No. Like co-ed softball or?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We don't like that around here.
Okay. All right. No safety bag for Scooter.
No safety bag. Final. No. That's a strikeout.
Who's ever said yes to that question? Anybody?
I think Scoot. Here's my take, Scoot.
Yeah.
Hear me out.
Rowdy, so what are you supposed to slide into if you're trying to touch the bag? Like, you have to use the safety bag?
I don't know the cement.
Or like if you're like
it,
if you're
it
diving,
basically is
know,
an extension of the bag. Look at it as an extension of, it's just a big base.
Just first base, right?
Just first base.
Well, I mean, but then you let the powers that be, you know, you let them in the door, then all of a sudden every bag's got a safety bag.
True. Just like what you're saying, it could
the mound now is extended because the pitcher feels uncomfortable on the regular mound.
No, for sure. No, it could open up a can of worms. Totally get that. But I look at it as like this. You got a $300 million shortstop running to first base. You got Rowdy Tellez in your way, it's like an easy 15-day IL ask when you could just have – it's basically right. just like – I just look at it as like I want to see my best players on the field. And yeah. I feel like that's the way that you can have that.
Well, I don't know. You can't – that's the thing. I think, number one, God shout out to God's in control of everything, right? So – and in the game, like once you try to manipulate time, right, they're trying to make games shorter. Mm-hmm. You can't. It's a nine-inning game. There's no clock in baseball in a sense, right, other than a travel ball. You got 2 hours and it's game over. It's like, yeah, that sucks. But God's in control. Like the flow of everything is going to do its thing. And I think if you're a smart base runner, you shouldn't run into Rowdy Tellez if you're a small guy. Like, are you not looking like in front of you? Or are you just like, are you looking at your home run to see if it goes out and run into him? Then you're an idiot.
Yeah. You know?
So I just believe in things like if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? This totally. Game has been the same for so long, and some things have to change, and you know, we put the three-point line in for a reason.
All right, guys, it's time for story time brought to you by our friends at Dabble. Scooter, it's an all-time baseball name. You got to tell us the story of how you got it.
I got you, boys, only because you're special. I usually just tell people to Google it.
That's such a flex.
I know, right? And I'm really not that person, I swear. I was like I have a 3.5-year-old and they're wild, you know. They should be a little crazy. And I was crazy. I was a terrible kid and very defiant, but I also thought I was smart and I made up a name. So the Muppet Babies was my favorite show when I was little, and Scooter was my favorite character. And my mom knew I watched the show, knew some of the characters, but didn't know that was like my guy. And one day we were in the car and she'd put my seatbelt on, and I'm like forward facing, age like 3, 4-ish, 5 maybe. And I would just unclick my seatbelt when she'd start driving. I thought it was funny, and to see her reaction. So she'd stop, get out, buckle it back up. And I did that multiple times, and she got fed up with it. And there was a police station nearby, conveniently for her. And we went in, and all I remember is a big, tall police officer with a badge, and seeing the badge and being like intimidated. And he asked me what my name was, and I said Scooter Jeanette. And my mom's like, "What?" And he's like, "What's your name?" And I said, "Scooter." And he could tell, like, by my mom's reaction, that wasn't my name. And he's like, "Tell me your real name or you can get in trouble." And I said, "Scooter's my real name." And then I didn't answer to Ryan, my given name, for like a year or so, they say. So, like, and at my pre-K or my kindergarten teachers, they all had to call me, you know, Scooter to get me to do anything. So it kind of stuck. But yeah, that's the story. It's not, it's just like that's just where I was at, you know. And I was like that defiance of like, no, that's my name, you know. It's kind of crazy, but that's the story.
Wow, it's great. Looking back at it now, it's like that's like all you probably hear, you know, is Scooter. And when we were looking it up, we were like, okay, like his name's probably like Scott, you know. It's right. Somewhere like, and we look it up, and, or something like big name. We are like, he's definitely got like a big name or something. We look it up, Ryan. We're like, oh, like,
yeah, like the most basic, generic white dude name ever.
like there's got to be something behind that. No, that's
Ryan
great.
Howard, shout out, Ryan Howard, shout out.
Hell yeah, not love it, love it. Also, friend of the show. Yep. of the show. Hell yeah,
it's awesome. Ryans are special. We have our own little group. We meet up once a year.
Okay. You see that in Colorado?
I've been seeing it on my feed on Instagram. I'm like,
you should have been there.
That's like a video of like, oh, when all the Ryans get together. Like, I don't know if you guys have been seeing that on like for with your name, but I don't. It's like it's just funny.
Yeah, no. Do you see it in Colorado? They had the big group of guys at Coors Field. They had Ryan? Like they tried to. Yes, all Ryan. They had yesterday. Yesterday they had
it would be in Colorado.
No, best part, Ryan McMahon comes up to the plate, hits a nuke, And then they all just go, like absolutely nuts.
That's like, great. No, actually, shout out to them too, man. Like they're like the worst team. They're like a triple A team. And well, then they get Orlando Arcia, who's my boy. He put a little spark in them, but the fans were still showing up. Like they're getting better attendance than, you know, 2/3 of the league. That says something, you know what I mean?
Coors. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Half off beers at the Everything. Triple level up there. Yeah. I've hit balls up there too, by the way. No one believes me, but I can hit balls up there. Now, I don't know about anymore. I would need to do some oblique work for sure.
Scoot. So we did our digging. I'm going to be honest. We did our digging. I'll say this. We all got our doppelgangers, man. Someone that looks like us. Mine's Owen Hunt from Grey's Anatomy. Jenks is OG Mudbone. Wow. But is yours truly Justin Bieber?
I don't know. I've been called that just by like, you know, everyone's like, all right, Bieber, you know, like at least my generation, we make fun of people calling him Justin Bieber. I've never really gotten that, but no. Who have I been? Do you guys know who Ryan Sheckler is?
Yeah. Yeah. The skateboarder.
I got that
right?
A couple times, but like, I don't know, dude. I got like a Who Knows. Have you ever seen The Grinch, the original one? Like the, or not the original, but the one with Jim Carrey?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Who's from Whoville. Like, look, it looks like kind of like, it's not like up, you know, like theirs, but I've been called like, you know, a Who from Whoville. Like, I don't know. I don't think I look like many people, you know, kind of like look different, almost like in my own class.
I got you. Hey, that's a good thing for you, man. I feel like I look like every that's your calling. I feel like I look
never
like
broken my nose. I've like, it's so small. Like, look, like I can, I've landed on the ground face first and like my, like I sneeze and that's it. So like, it's kind of a,
it's unbreakable kind of a blessing nose. Too, you know, unbreakable nose.
That's I don't want to say that and people just like come up and punch me. But
speaking of punches, you play with some wild cats in Cincy, man. Yasiel Puig and Amir Garrett are two that like when I look at some of the teammates you played with, those ones are the ones that come to mind. Talk to me if you have any crazy stories about being teammates with those guys.
Yeah, you forget too. I was with the Brewers with Carlos Gomez when he was on his starting every bench clearing brawl known to man. Gomi's awesome, but yeah, he was on one that year. He was wanting all the smoke. Yeah, it was that season. McCann and Garrett Cole in Pittsburgh.
Talk to me about the McCann. Do you remember the McCann?
Yeah, I had talk an off day that day. What's his name? Pitcher Mahomes or yeah, Mahomes.
Okay,
not Patrick. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. And
is it Paul Mahomes? I can't remember. I mean, I'm not
Mahalem,
sure.
Paul
Mahomes.
Yes, something like that. Sorry if he watches this like for
sorry, Paul.
He's a great pitcher, but like lefty throwing like upper 80s at best. Like that's the one I want to play, right? Like they were playing me like kind of platoon at the time with the Brewers, which is the worst thing you can do to a left-handed hitter. Yeah, I remember going to lunch, and this is one of my favorite stories. So that's why I had to bring up Gomez. I'm in the lunchroom before BP, it's my off day. Like, where's lefty, whatever. I'm like, I'm going to enjoy this. So I'm like eating a huge like spread, like getting a lot of food and just hanging out. And Carlos comes in and he's like, hey, Scooter, what's up, man? And I'm like, sorry about my Latin accent. I got to do it. It just makes the story better. I'm like, I don't know, Gomez, I'm not playing. I'm not happy about it. I'm just, you know, eating, like, whatever. I'm chilling, dude. And he's like, hey, bro, I need to tell you a story. I'm like, what's up? And he's like, you know, this motherfucker, he hit me right here. And, like, here, let me stand up and show you guys the spot. So, like, right here, have you guys ever been hit right below the right below the knee, like right in that spot? Almost like, you know, your IT band goes up your leg. But like right there, there's a nerve. And I'll go on a walk here. Tell you this story. We got a real truck pulling up next to us. I don't know if you.
Yeah, you're good.
Guys are allowed diesel trucks in Iowa. You're probably allowed everything, right, Drew?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No holds barred here.
So he gets hit earlier in the season in that spot, and I call it like just like it's like a you'll feel it for like a month or two type of deal, and it doesn't like hinder you too much, but it's just there and it's annoying. So he's pissed off at this guy for that, for hitting him with 86 in leg, and he remembered it, and now we're playing Atlanta, you know, at their place, and he remembered it the whole year. So he comes in, he's just trying to like tell somebody what's gonna happen, right? And he's like, hey, school, he's like, fuck this guy, man. He hit me right here, bro. You know the spot. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I know. But it's 86. Yeah, he's like still, bro, it fucking hurts. And I'm like, and he's like, I tell you what, man. He's like, first at bat, he's like, I'm gonna fucking hit a home run, big home run. And he's like, I'm gonna pimp the fuck out of it. And I'm like, dude. I'm like, this is what I said. I said, bro, you pimp every home run. What are you talking about? Like, how can you out pimp this home run now? Right. And so I'm like, whatever. If he's going to try even harder to hit a home run, you guys have seen him swing, right? Especially with the Brewers, like where his helmet would fall off every time. So I'm like, there's no way he's going to hit a homer. So first of all, I got like my sunglasses on. I'm on like, I have like a clipboard in my hand. I don't know why. I think I was like just looking at, that was before like iPads were everywhere in the dugouts. And I, you know, I'm just like, oh, whatever. What's the spray chart? And first swing, he falls over, misses it by like a foot. And I'm like laughing. Cause no one knows. I didn't share this with anybody. That's kind of my thing. Like there's a certain code, but like, that's one thing you could share with somebody, right? Like what Carlos said, but I just didn't think anything of it. Next pitch, this guy hits the right when he hit it. I'm like, oh no. I knew. Like I stood up, I'm like, oh no, this is gonna be bad. I was the only person that knew. Everyone else is just caught completely off guard. And he doesn't move, he just stands at home plate, and he's like, and I think he made like a first step and he kind of spit like. And then that's when McCann's like, bro, like, what is going on? It's the first batter of the game. So he's running around. Freddie Freeman's talking trash. And so then he gets the home plate, and obviously, and McCann's not letting him touch home plate. And that's when, you know, they get into it. And I'm just like, I'm like out of my mind. Like, I'm just like, what? How did this guy do this, right? Like so impressive, but yet so out of control, like at the same time that like, I didn't even know what was going on. So we get out there and like, and all Carlos wanted to do was touch home plate. Like that whole time, all he kept saying is like, it's not going to count. Like, it's not going to count. I'm like, it's going to count, bro. Like he's in the dugout. Like we finally corral him in the dugout, and Marcus handles the bullpen catcher. I don't think he is anymore. I think he retired with the Brewers. He's been there for 15, 20 years. Biggest hands in the world, like bigger than Johnny Bench's. And he's the only one that could get, like, just get his hands on Gomez without, like, him just, you know. It's like a middle linebacker, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I'll go back to my seat now. He's in the dugout pacing back and forth looking like an absolute psychopath. Like if you look up the video, it is scary. And he's still like, he's waiting for them to put the one run on the board.
Just looking up this scoreboard.
Yeah. Like, and everyone telling him, Carlos, they're going to count it. Relax. Like, but you're on the game, bro. Like you're talking. Oh dude, that was one of my, like their whole team was like in shock. Like we were in shock. But it's like there's a brawl. Like half the time when there's a bench clears, it's like no one really even knows why. And they're just like maybe mad at the person that pimped the ball or like a pitcher that hit some guy. But like, you know, it was one of those where they didn't want to like – we didn't want to fight each other at that moment. We're just like, what are you doing, Carlos? But, yeah, man. So back to Puig and Amir Garrett. Obviously, Amir Garrett did something – and that's a good friend of mine. Amir's a really good dude. Talks a big game about basketball, but I beat him in 3-point. we can suck on that. But yeah, what he did to the Pirates, I like to say two because it was literally him against their whole team for like 5 seconds. It was pretty special, man. I don't think that's just like, that's him. That's like, he, you're talking crap to my family, my team, like I'm going to have their back and like, I'll fight all of you. And, and he did. And they're lucky that like, he didn't land a couple of those, bro, for real. Yeah.
Those are some haymakers he was handing out, man. Yeah. He was just swinging. Wild.
Yep, I had one groin at the time. My groin I ripped off the bone was fusing to my quad. So I was kind of like not even supposed to be out there. It was my first, I think it was my first game or one of the first few I was allowed back in the dugout on my rehab assignment, which is just awesome. You know, like it's like, I'm finally back. And like, I get to see Amir steaming because he got brought into a, he couldn't get the save. It wasn't a save situation. Amir, he wasn't in a save situation, but he's not a selfish player. So like there was a little bit of that. It was like, everyone was kind of like, why are we bringing him in? It just was odd. Obviously we're still in the game, but yet, you know, the momentum wasn't really there. It was kind of like one of those, you just didn't feel right to bring in our best arm at the time, I guess, to say the least. And he knew it, but he's not selfish. So he, you know, he got through the first, I think they brought him in to get the last out of the eighth, and then they bring him in the ninth, or was the seventh or eighth. And it just went downhill a little bit, like walked a guy, and then they're chirping because Amir wears his emotions on his sleeve, and a lot like basketball, he's a basketball guy at heart. And, you know, he's learned to kind of tame that because you can't, you know, baseball's got a different scope or lens, you know, at least I don't care about it that much. You know, we talked about the bat flip stuff. Like that's just him and what he has to do to perform well. So like, you don't want to tell somebody they can't do that. Right. But yeah, a lot of guys don't like it. It leaves a little bad taste in their mouth. And the Pirates, you know, it just seems like everyone brawls with the Pirates. I don't know what it is. They're the Pirates, right? I could just see it happening. I'm like, this isn't going to go well. He's talking crap. And our manager gets tossed. Our bench coach, Freddie, gets tossed. So we're down to our outfield coach is now our active manager. And great guy. And I'm like, hey, he's going to talk to Amir. I'm like, you should take him out. Or like, we're all like, hey, take him out. Cause he's chirping at him. Could see him chirping. He gets out there and Amir's like, I'm going to run over their dugout and beat the shit out of all of them. And I could see his mouth and I'm like, he's going. And then all of a sudden, boom, you see him just sprint towards the dugout. But just knowing it, like there was a few guys in the dugout that were feeling like this is, Amir's about to pop, like, you know, and he did. And man, that was something like you just don't see, right? Like, how many brawls have you ever seen somebody do that? So that, I think that's, I don't condone it necessarily, but that's just who he is. So like every player knows that, like when you're facing Amir Garrett, like he might just come and like beat your ass. that's an edge that I want him, Amir, if you watch this, I want you to use that as a tool to make a lot of money for your family, sir.
Hell yeah. And
Puig started a lot of fights, never landed one punch. Look at all of them. Enough said with that.
Never once.
Not one. If you watch all of them, dude, all of them, there's old coaches that have been hit in the face and that have hit other people because of a brawl that he started, and they landed punches. Just saying, you got a 6'2" guy that looks like the original Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like literally without a shirt on, it's like 8 abs and like dude, like just and an umpire that's 72 years old is holding him back. So I don't. Yasiel, I know that he's you know, changed a lot in his life, and he's, you know, just seeing him over there having success, and you know, I wish him the best, but. Yeah,
we got you. Yeah. I think we got you.
Yeah.
We got
you, all right. Bro. So we're gonna go a little bit different direction. So Scooter, you came to the league as an elite contact hitter. And you kind of maintain that. But what the hell happened in 2017 and 2018? What changed?
Well, you know what's crazy? That it's a very loaded question on my end, because it's a very simple question on yours. But the Reds were my team growing up, born in Cincinnati. Wanted to, like, always dreamed to play for the Reds. I'm not saying that's necessarily why, but, you know, it was that first, like, month I'm on the bench over there. Jose Peraza hit like 308 his rookie year, the year before that. So he's got the job. I come in literally the last day of spring training. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, I'm playing for the Reds. Like, Brandon Phillips, you know, is gone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they give me number four. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, come on. That's BP's number for 10 years. But, like, it's set in stone. Like, it was either that or number, like, 67. I'm like, Oof. Yeah.
You don't play O-line.
I'm a small guy. I need one digit is the best, bro. Like, that looks best on the uni. So I take four. But, yeah, no. It was kind of like I knew the role I was walking in on, right? Like, I'm going to have to prove myself again. I had a rough year with the Brewers, had some injury issues to make an excuse. But I wasn't 100%, you know, and that's just a part of the game. Sometimes you're healthy, sometimes you're not. But when you're a guy like myself, when I made it to the big leagues, I felt like I had to keep performing to stay in the big leagues, which, in all honesty, that's reality. But I didn't have a long leash, right? Like, you see certain guys like Volpe or whatever, like, poor guy's going through it right now. Like, it happens. Like, I've seen him hit. He's a 250 to 280, a little slappy, but amazing shortstop. Like, bro, that plays. Like, he's going to have a great career, but he's what, 0 for 50 something? Like, nuts? Like, yeah. I would have been gone after 0 for 15. Yeah, like, that's just the reality of a lot of people's situations. They're not these, you know, Bryce Harpers of the world, and it's nothing. It's not a knock on them at all. They've earned it. But, you know, I always felt like I had to get a bunch of hits. So I get over with the Reds, and one, I'm with the team that I dreamed about playing for. Two, I'm in a bench role. So my approach was, I need to learn about everybody, you know, that I don't know, because this is a new team. Came up with the Brewers, with them for 7 years in total in the minor leagues, in the big leagues. So that was my goal, learn my teammates, do whatever I can when I'm not playing to help the team, which if it's getting somebody something from their locker to, like, hey, like, here's a new pine tar rag, like, whatever it was. I don't want to sound like corny or cliche, but, like, I had to do that for myself to go through sitting on the bench knowing I should be playing. And that's a healthy way to distract. So for any young guys, like, don't put your – you know, head down or your tail between your legs, like, do something. You can always do something. Mm-hmm. And once you get your opportunity, you better do something, right? So, and I was like, not every day ABs hitting like 270 with a few home runs, nothing crazy. And then going into that four home run game, I was one for my last 19, I think it was. I got a jam shot single the day before to end the game. And it was like, oh my gosh. You know, if I was in New York, 0 for 15, like I said, but I had earned, you know, a little bit of a leash by playing 3-4 years. And, you know, it's nice that we had a great manager. Brian Price was a pitcher, but he was a great manager because he let the guys play. And he was like, hey, lefty, righty, I don't care. So I think that helped me have a lot more success with the Reds, because I felt like there wasn't somebody over my shoulder like, oh, it's a lefty, you're not playing tomorrow. Oh, if you don't. It was just, hey, go out there and play. We'll give it a month and see what it looks like, right? Like normal baseball. So that was great. And I was getting paid a little bit more. So I had that financial security that helps a lot. And that day, I don't know, the four home runs. So getting to the question, right? There's a lot that has gone on. I'm at 1 for 19, first at bat, get jammed, get an RBI or two. And I'm like, well, this is a great day. Like, I'm 2 for 20 and two jam shots, but whatever, we're doing something. Yeah,
knocks.
Yeah. And then it's just boom, 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 boom. And I don't know how to explain it other than, you know, God was using me that night to really open up people's eyes, because it doesn't make any sense how you look at it. Me being a really small guy, I'd be willing to bet I'm the smallest out of the guys that have done it in the past, not to be like, oh, I'm a small guy, but you know, like, it was special in that, ooh, in that right, you know, of a like, 4 home runs is insane, you know, for a week for a guy like me, you know, let alone in a row. But you know, kudos to the Cardinals. They kept throwing me fastballs. I appreciate that.
Crazy. Like after the third one, like, what are we doing? just groove you one. I love it.
Yeah. That third one, out of all the home runs, that one's the one I knew, like, you know, this is something special tonight. Cause as a lefty, even as a righty, when you hit that ball and it starts like almost at the oppo foul pole, like when it starts like a little off, you know, yeah, the foul pole, you know, it's gonna
foul.
Right. You're like, oh, like, yeah. You guys ever play Ken Griffey Jr. baseball on Nintendo 64?
Yeah.
Oof.
Like best game of all time,
yep,
right?
Yep. I didn't play that recently somehow.
Oh, dude, they need to come out with like a newer version of it, like on like the new thing, you know. That'd be great. Let's go,
go
Nintendo. Come on,
you got something. Game out. That's something. You got something.
But you know how like when you hit a home runs in that game, they like fly up and then they just go, yep, and like stay straight. It was like that, and I had the perfect view. I hit, you know, I'm like take a few steps. I'm like, no way, that ball's not, it's not moving. And Votto was on deck or in the hole, and he had the same, like a very similar line to it that I did. And the next day, and Joey, like he's a very thoughtful person and processes things, like especially things that don't make sense. He's like, why? And he wants to figure it out. And he asked me the next day, like, how did you do that? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, how did you hit that ball and it just stayed perfectly straight? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know, Joey. I'm like, God, or like, I mean, a round ball, round bat, you know, like it was just that one out of a million. I just threw my hands and it was just perfect. And that's never happened to me. I've never hit a home run that stays dead straight like that. There was not really any wind that night. Like there's no explanation other than, again, just God doing something, yeah, special.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And the more that time goes on, the more I process it. And I just lean more towards that because there's a lot of things that don't add up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned this a few times. You're a smaller guy, right? What advice would you have to give to the undersized players out there?
Oh, man. Well, one, shortstops are called shortstops for a reason. Now you have your 6'2", you know, just absolute like range guys, you know, it's a part of the game. But I feel like fielding ground balls, you're lower, your eyes are lower, you should be able to field the ball better. So I would, if you're young, try to be an infielder. Don't be scared of the ball at whatever position you play because you've got no chance. But I would say doing things that most people don't do, because if you're small, there's not a lot of small guys in professional sports, at least in, you know, the NBA and football. Like you don't see football. I mean, you see some like safeties that are kind of smaller, but in baseball, kind of same thing. You know, you got big guys and strong guys, but do something different, because if you're doing everything they're doing, they have things that you don't. They have that size. They have that leverage in their swing. They have things. Like, why would you hit like Aaron Judge if you're 5'6", 120, you know? Like, that works for him because he can get off the plate. He's looking in one zone, which is like, for his size, like, it's like, do you imagine his square on Ken Griffey Jr. baseball?
6'8", 280.
That's another thing, too. What you asked about that was the strike zone thing, right? The what'd you call
ABS.
It?
ABS.
ABS.
Automatic ball strike.
What are they gonna do with his?
I think there's like it's per your size. It's
it
like
should per, be right, but like if I am standing straight up and hitting, it's knees to the letters, right?
Yeah.
But what if I hit like Jeff Bagwell or?
I think that they have it because like for Altuve, it's different because Altuve is almost like straight up and down. They had like a comparison of Altuve's versus Judge's. It's like okay. It goes off of their stance. It's
good, not like straight to up. To me, I don't want to say that's fair. Totally. Kind of sounds like I don't know, you know. But when I watch the TV, they don't change theirs, right?
Yeah.
Like the thing that's just up there, like the.
Looks very similar.
Looks it, yeah. It's, but it's like a little square, and it's like, mm-hmm. you see Judge, and it's like, how are you even supposed to pitch this guy? Like,
yeah. go just come everything to the right down middle. Come here, please.
Yeah, and that brings me to one point. We'll get back to the little guy thing, but since we had the video here, like, obviously you're gonna get to. Love this. You got to love it. It's like golf guys that are just doing dry stuff with mechanics. Yeah. Like, oh, look at this guy. All right. So we get here. We're going to get here, right? Like, mm-hmm. you have to get there. No one's hitting like this. Like, mm-hmm. when I'm telling guys, hey, stay on top of the ball, try to approach the ball like down. That's more of a thought than like an actual, you know, you're going to do it. But like, when you get here, you're going to get that extension, and your hand's going to be like somewhat like that. My mm-hmm. left hand, your right hand, Drew. But there's a difference between this right hand, right? This, if I grab a bat, how do I not
have one? Do it, Scoot. Do it, Scoot. Grab a stick. Yes. Love this guy.
Little bat.
He's with his hand.
I'm here, right? There's a difference between this and that. So, like, let me get on the open side so you can see that. So here or there, if mm-hmm. I grab a bat, Drew, you have a bat, put it in your right hand because you're a righty, correct?
Yep.
Grab it down the handle like a normal person. There you go. All right. And get to that spot. Get to that spot with one hand.
Yep.
And imagine if somebody was to take their hand and put their hand on the cap of the bat and push it back.
Yeah.
Like, you can almost do it yourself. Like, it doesn't feel very strong, right?
Yeah.
So now doing this very similar spot, but kind of angle, like if you were to, like this movement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're still here, but you're flexed. You're almost mm-hmm. in line here rather than being like this. You're more like that. Mm-hmm. Now you have some grip and power, right, to the end of the bat.
That's
the difference. That's the biggest difference for me. There's – at contact, I'm throwing this bat, and when I hit the ball, I want to make sure I have a grip on that, like that bat, to where I'm busting through that ball. A lot of these kids, they get here, and that bat is just like that.
It gets it's flexed, not like this
to where they can
compress it. Yeah.
So just a thought. I like
my eyes were watering.
One day, I'm like, I don't think I get here. And I looked and I was there every time. Like, every
you're going to get jank feeling some type of way, Scoot. I'm just going
to. Oh, dude, my eyes are watering.
Something else, dude, is watering.
It's pretty crazy. But it was like an epiphany for me because I'm like, but to me, I get that when I'm thinking of hitting down on the ball.
Yeah.
I get that move right there. But it's still, I'm still, you know, like I'm like uppercutting.
Of course. Yeah.
Like, because the bat's gonna punch drop. Is there.
Yeah.
Just a thought. So back to the little man stuff. I had to do things differently
totally
to get that similar result that bigger, stronger guys did. So I did a lot of forearm stuff, grip strength stuff. That's something nowadays, like I shake these kids' hands. I coach like 13 to 18 year olds. And they're like, they could be the little fish. Oh, you know?
You ever get like a 10-year-old to try to do push-ups?
Bro, I'm like, it's disgusting. No. Like, what are we doing at home, parents?
They're just like, dude, they'll like have their hands like up here like this, and they'll be like,
yeah, it's just very like, imagine like getting a handshake from, you know, like Joe Biden. had to mention that. It'd be the weakest thing ever. But no, so we don't need that at contact. We don't need that at contact with the ball. You know what I mean? So
don't need that. You're the best, Scoot. You're the best. Oh, all right.
Rice bucket. All right. Rice bucket. Gotta do the rice bucket.
Good deal.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're right, dude. Dude, at that size, I love you saying you gotta do it different. Because if you do it the same, you're behind. You know, there's going to be a 6'2" guy that's already, he's got naturally going to have more power, going to have more strength. Right. You got to do something different.
And I think for me, I didn't necessarily know what I was doing when I was younger, but now it's not like I was like, oh, I'm right, and I'm just going to be on my, we call it OFP, you know, mm-hmm. like own effing program, like those kind of guys. Yep. Yep. It wasn't like that at practice. I did whatever everybody else did. But at home, I just knew for whatever reason, deep down, I knew, one, a lot of people don't play college baseball. A lot of people don't make it to the big leagues, right? Like, I know that. I know what I'm signing up for and what I'm spending my time on. And I knew I had to do something that I had to do what the majority wasn't doing because the majority doesn't make it. So that was just my thought process. So like at times, maybe I was hindering myself doing stuff on my own, but a lot of times I was searching and figuring out what I can do well and how do I make it better every day. And then hit with guys like you, you know, and pick what, oh, I like that thought. I've never thought of it that way, or mm-hmm. this and that to really, like, that was my mind. And I guess I'm not that stupid because I had that, but I think I worked extremely hard, right? I lived and breathed it because I knew if I could put in the work, if I believed in myself, which comes from putting in the work, right? Like mm-hmm. confidence is bred by hard work. You don't just have it, you know? I guess, you know, maybe some people do, but I've never met anybody. If I have those two things and then I can just do things right, you know, be smart, manage my body, not get hurt, then I could do this. Like, it's a reality, you know, and that's what I did. And I think you have to have that, though. There has to be something in you that you know you could do this and you're willing to put in absolutely everything you can. And if you don't, are you going to succeed? Are you going to have regrets? You know, like, I just didn't want any of those, and I'm blessed to not get hurt. You know, I mean, the safety bag, you know, like, like, I didn't get hurt running into Rowdy Tellez, but you know, there's a chance that I could have. He seems like an awesome dude.
He's a big dog, that's for sure, man. He's a big dog. Yeah, but dude, I love what you're saying, because there's that fine line for a hitter at a young age to be coachable and to coach themselves.
Yeah,
I think because that's a very big misconception, I feel like, where it's like, hey, coachable is everything. But it's like, if you're just this kid who's just like, yes, whatever you say, you'll never figure shit out, because you're always going to just be listening to everything and then you learn nothing. Yes. So instead of like you talking and being like, hey, like, what do you think about this? Try this. And then you try it and you're like, that helped me. Or, nah, not me. This, that. And it's like, that's how you're going to build like actual knowledge for yourself instead of just.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it. You can put it as simple as, you know, oh, Mike Trout was obviously still Mike Trout. It'd be nice to see him play on a different team, though. What the hell?
Yeah.
What is he doing? Come on, Mike.
Loyalty,
man. Go play for the Phillies. He can play wherever he wants. Just take less money. Who cares? You got $1 billion. Nike might care. I don't know. Yeah, no. So get back to what were we talking about again? Sorry.
We're good, man. We'll hit. That's great. We got you've been the man. We got a good question for you, though, dude. All right. So we got probably one more, man. We've been yapping.
Oh, you're good, dude. No, you're good.
No, dude, we could
run this all day, Scoot. I have a feeling we could run this all day, but
I got time.
Hell yeah, bro.
Hey, I'm away from my crazy 3.5-year-old for now. So this is a break for me.
You're welcome, bro.
Yeah, thanks. She's gonna see this too and be like, what the hell?
Yeah. You had the biggest moment in the All-Star game in 2018, but can you really remember it? Name the 2018 NL All-Star team lineup.
Jeez. I can't remember probably half the players. I know Baez was playing short.
Ding, ding, ding.
But they had him start at second.
Yep. Okay. Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's my position. That's the only reason why I know that. That's
okay, you got that. You're one for like, one.
Okay,
man.
We got Yachty catching. Duh. I don't even know if I don't think he was starting that day.
Nope, he was not.
Who was that short if Baez moved over? Because he was playing short that year. I think
lots of gold gloves.
Yeah.
Great hair.
Lots of great hair. Mm-hmm. It's like
where
It kind of sounds like
I don't know. Great hair.
True. There's a lot of that. let's think. Rafi Devers.
No.
I'm just trying to give you a hint here.
Oh. But
the team that he's on.
Oh. Oh, okay. Oh, Brandon Crawford, yeah.
You bet. Sure.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, great hair. Great guy, too. Yeah, he's a good guy. I like playing with him. I only played with him for a month and a half, then they sent me home because I sucked. Playing on a half a groin. Yeah, I'm good,
coach. That doesn't help. shorts, we got shorts
for a second. We had this is so bad.
Let's go first.
Nick Markakis. Well, yep. That was his first all-star game. Yeah, and it's amazing because he was like a career like 300 hitter. It's like just so dumb how he wasn't.
Yeah, it was a story by then. It was a story like that he had never been an all-star, which I felt like gave him a push
every year. Yeah.
So yeah, right now we got right field, second base, shortstop.
Henio Suarez. I don't think he was starting though, was he?
He was a reserve, but he wasn't. You had three Reds.
Was three that Reds. Chris Bryan at third?
Let me see. Nope.
Nope.
High elevation.
Oh, yeah. Nolan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could scratch him down around that time.
Yeah. You give good hints.
Yeah.
Why did they ever trade him? That's crazy. I don't know why.
And then got KB. A couple years later. That was nuts. So we got first base.
Trying to think
third base
first. I know Votto was first, a replacement. Yep. Is it Rizzo?
It was let's think of two back to your Gomez story. Who are they playing?
Oh no.
First base.
So bad. I was so checked out. I was like, this is a true story that, and I don't think I've ever told this story on like a podcast or anything. Not that I do many. I got my first shot of cortisone ever in my shoulder, like a week into the season, and so like I was just kind of like, I don't know, like it didn't hurt, so I was like, great, but like it was just. No, like I was didn't have like at the same quickness, you know, I still hit 300 or whatever, but I just wasn't when your right shoulder, your lead shoulder is not there, like especially back in here, just doesn't feel great. But so I played most of the games obviously leading up to that point, and I told Roberts, I was like, hey, like it'd be great if I just could get it at bat, like I'm the third string guy because we had Albies was at second, so we had three second basemans. The only position we had three guys at. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm gonna like play a half inning, be great. So I'm like, why even throw? Just get these three days and not touch a ball, just hit. And I took like 20 swings in 3 days. Like just a break. I'm like, give me one at bat. And he's like, I got you, Scoot. And I'm like, sweet. So like I'm just like chilling. All I gotta do is just get one AB, probably hit a home run. And, you know, call it an all-star game. I didn't tell my family that I wasn't going to be, like, really in the game much or that, like, he was guaranteeing me an at-bat, basically. And I just told him, I said, just do it when some people are on base. Like, do it at a time where you want me to hit a home run. I literally said that. And he laughed. And I'm like, no, but, like, just don't put me up with, like, nobody on base. Like, it's kind of boring. And... you know, halfway through the game, I started kind of opening up to some of the guys, you know, it's like, you don't know them, but like you do. And I'm like, yeah, man, like I'm going to get in. They're like, Scoot, when you get in, I'm like, Albies is in now. Like I'm just chilling. I'm like, you know, I'll get an AB. I'm like, I told the skipper to put me in when there's people on base and I'm going to hit a home run. And they're just laughing. And, there was some guy there, side note, shout out to this guy. Craziest fan I've ever seen in my life, wearing a Jeanette jersey, only Reds jersey I saw there the whole time in DC. And he's across in the on deck circle on the other side, the third base side. We're in the first base side. And the whole game, like every inning, was one inning that didn't go by where he wasn't yelling at Roberts to put me in the game. At the quietest times. Like, like it's the All-Star games. There's not many moments where it's quiet, but there is moments. And he's like, "But effing Scoot." Roberts is like, "Scoot, is this your uncle or something?" I'm like, "No." I'm like, "I swear to God, I do not know this guy." And it was like getting to a point where it's kind of embarrassing, but I was just like, this guy's losing it. So then, you know, fast forward now, it's the, ninth inning? Ninth? All right. We went into extra innings. It was the first extra innings All-Star
game. Ninth inning, one out.
Yeah, okay. And he sees me come up on deck, right? Roberts waits for the walk, so whoever thought where they were going to hit. Like, I wasn't out yet, like, on in the hole. And somebody walks, so he's like, "All right, this will be good. Good time. Guaranteed Scoot's going to get up. You know, there'll be two outs. I'll get my at-bat." So I go up. This guy loses it. It starts cheering so loud. Yeah, like, just – I'm, like, laughing on deck. I'm like, all right, focus. Like, get your wits about you. Breathe, you know. And I really learned you know, how to really control my breathing and stuff. And at that point, early on in my career, I didn't. So I'm like, all right, snap in, just like, you know, calm the heart rate, whatever. And I don't know, it was Diaz. Like, he hadn't given up. I think he only gave up one extra base hit that leading up to that All-Star game. And it was like a double. And I never faced the guy. But watching him on TV, I'm like, why are these guys missing this pitch? Like, it looks flat. I'm like, I'm going to murder that. I just can hit that, I guess. Like, okay, so it angles in. All right, I'll see it once. And, like, it angles a lot. Like, it if it starts middle, it's going to almost hit you as a lefty. It's that much of an angle. And on TV, you know, depending on where the camera is, how offset it is, it can be tough. But so that first pitch is, like, starts middle. I'm like, oh, I'm going to crush this. And it, like, I check swung almost. Like, it almost hit my knee. I'm like, okay, now it makes sense why guys aren't squaring this up. But I'm like, all right, just see it outer third, and I should be able to get to it. Because as a lefty, you could see that depth more and, like, know when, you know, time it up and pull your hands in. So I'm like, all right, see it outer third. And sure enough, and I think it was a little in off the plate.
Yeah.
Still ended up a ball. But, like, I just don't miss that pitch. And when I hit it, obviously, I knew it was, you know, probably going to be gone. And it's a great moment because I called it. Told the manager, like, Roberts is probably like, this guy's nuts. He didn't like me because I just absolutely raked against the Dodgers. They suck. Just kidding, they're a great team. But
what was that? What was that? Was a great fan. Experience. How crazy was that fan going?
Oh, dude, I don't even know where. I think he probably almost ran on the field. There was a screen there to stop him. But but my family after the game, they're like that was incredible. Whatever, I should have won the truck. I should have got MVP, but I think it was Bueller wasn't expect. No one was expect. The bullpen wasn't even warmed up. We had guys out in the bullpen. They didn't expect the game to get tied and go into extras because it just doesn't really happen for whatever reason. And he had to go back out and gave up like two or three home runs. And then Brigman fucking got the truck. I'm like, damn it. But
if you guys squeeze that out, you definitely get the truck for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
huge
come
moment.
On. And,
huge moment.
Yeah, oh, for sure. If we would have came back and just won it with, like, a base hit, get the truck, you know? But, no, so my parents, they were like, it was great, but, like, we were, like, thinking you weren't going to get in at all. Another wasp.
Strong top hand.
Yeah.
That's what I was about to go on top. Oh, here we go.
You see the grip right there?
Oh, shit, it might threw. See me on live TV. No, they were, like, they were thinking I wasn't going to get in. Like, wow, what a wasted trip. I had like 15, 20 family members fly up to DC to see me play. And like, I didn't tell them I was guaranteed an at bat basically, because I'm never in control of any of this. You know what I mean? Like, you don't. So it was my only moment to like have control of like something my family might not know without me telling them. And I took advantage. Sorry, family. But because I knew it would make it that much better, right? Like, when I do get in. And it was, it obviously was great.
Yeah, when you do get in and hit a homer, because you knew it was going to happen.
I mean, again, super blessed, like, to have that moment, you know, one swing in an All-Star game being a home run in front of my family. I mean, what else can you ask for, you know?
Yeah, man.
Pretty cool.
Dude, and I was wondering about the the two big indents that I saw coming out of Great American Ballpark from your nuts when you were trying to drag them out after that four home run game. I heard that night, I heard these two loud thuds. And I was just wondering, I'm like, there's got to be a meteor strike. No, look at my phone. Scooter went yabo four times.
So, oh, my gosh. I wish they were that big, but I don't wish. That actually sounds terrible.
That's but, the wheelbarrows and all.
Yeah, no, I think, again, when you work extremely hard and then you kind of figure it out. It's like you work to ride that bike and then it's like, oh, it's like riding a bike. But it takes so much work to get there. And I finally got there and I had, like I said before, I finally got enough money to feel like, you know what, this is enough. Like it was $2.5 million. It was my first year arbitration. And I was like, you know, that takes a lot. Like money stress is terrible. Like it really is. And it's a real thing. People don't talk about it. But if you're putting in the work and you know, like that, it's eventually you're going to get what you work for. Right. Mm-hmm. Like it's like the law of attraction. You're doing everything right. You're going to get it. But how long does that take? It's different for people, but like just keeping that in mind through the bad gets you through it. Like I was close to not quitting, but in the minor leagues, like I'm done. You know, I was a couple games away from being, you know, like everyone has that story, you know, and it's real. So when you're at your bottoms, just know, like, if you're working hard, like you're going to come out of it. But if you're not working hard and you're at your bottom, you got to make a decision. Like, am I going to, like, you can't, that's insanity. You can't expect it's going to get better without working, you know? So maybe do something else or figure something else out and something you're passionate about. Like, you guys are obviously passionate about baseball. I am. But like, you can't put that into kids' hearts, you know, if they don't love it.
Yeah,
totally. 100%. Scoot, dude. You're the man. You're the man. Thanks for spending time with us.
Just like what you're saying,
just a couple baseball degenerates out here, man. We're just trying to have a good time, talk some ball. I really appreciate you taking your time with us, man.
Yeah, and like I said before, show bats, that's my – we make bats. We don't make a lot of money, and a lot of guys don't use them because they're kind of end heavy because it's the densest, hardest maple on the planet. Other bat companies like Marucci and Louisville Slugger and all, they have the similar wood, but you can't get your hands on it. You got to be like a you know, big leaguer to get that quality. So if you're wanting quality, if you're strong enough to handle it, just check us out. Showbaseballbats.com. Again, we don't make a lot of money. I just think it's somebody, you know, like in the 17-year-old range or 16-year-old range, just going to a wood bat tournament. You're playing in front of scouts. I think it's worth $150, you know, it could get you a scholarship, but that would make me feel great. So, you know, maybe my family makes a little money putting the order in, but it's more giving you the ability to have a good quality bat. That and the Bay Area Pro, those are my two shout outs. Come check us out if you're any good in our area, or if you're up north in Iowa, hitting corn on the cob off, you know, off using it as a tee. Like, we got better resources down here.
This fucking guy. Unreal.
All right, boys. It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks.
That is awesome.
Thanks again, guys, for watching the Baseballer Show. We'll be back on Wednesday, guys, talking about ball. Peace.